The sermon today is based on the reading from Matthew that we just heard, and I'll refer to many parts of it, but to start, I reread verses 1 through 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When we were printing the bulletin, I had a little bit of a dilemma. It's a little bit of a longer reading. We've had some longer than this, but it's a little bit of a longer Bible reading. And you notice I kept in this time, I kept in the little subtitles. They're in the italics print. And I did that so that it might help the reader, us, see what the little next section is about. So those little subtitles the translators put in can be helpful, but at the same time, they can kind of cut up the text a little bit too much in our thinking. And actually here, in this text, it's a unified topic. He's talking about little ones, and he's talking about that the little ones would not be lost, and he's talking about to have a faith of the little one. It's actually one section of teaching that Jesus gives, despite the little subtitles. So I was thinking, should I put in the subtitle or not? And I put them in. But it's one section of teaching. And it starts out with the disciples asking, okay, and we see them doing this on a number of occasions, sometimes even arguing who of them is greater. But they asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, in this question, it's very clear that they're thinking as the world thinks. They're thinking in terms like the world thinks. Okay, great means that you're the leader, everybody's looking up to you, maybe you can tell everybody what to do, everybody can see, everybody knows that you're in charge. That kind of thinking, who's the greatest? And they weren't thinking properly. And Jesus turns them around and he says, okay, no. Now, and he finds a child that's there around them. He says, okay, look at this child. And he said to his disciples, now notice he starts out truly. And whenever Jesus says we know truly, he's saying, look, this, listen up. Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So he says, okay, no, you're thinking wrong. It's not the world's thinking of the greatest leaders or who is renowned that's great in the kingdom of God, but look at this child. You have to become like this child. And then he says, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus is talking about has a child of young age, so he's talking as that as an example, but the example we see clearly extends to all ages of people, to adults too, because he says, whoever humbles himself like this child, so you're not like this child, you're older than this child, and maybe you're a leader, and maybe you're powerful, but unless you humble yourself like this child, you are not great in the kingdom of heaven. You won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. So there's this humility and this, we often say, childlike faith. Not a childish faith, but a childlike faith. The faith that believes, looks to God. So he's talking about adults too, which becomes apparent as he continues in his teaching. Then he starts talking in those next verses, not so much about about your stature or demeanor, the way you're thinking, but he also is talking about your doing. So he says in verse 5, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. As we Christians receive one another in a humble way to serve, we receive Christ. And this is the only place he teaches us. He teaches us a number of times. And then the opposite. And whoever would offend or mislead one of these things and lead one to sin. Now, what he's talking about there, and it helps us with the next verses, is one who believes in me to sin. What does that, how do we understand that? Means that you would lead the little one not to believe in Jesus, to lose faith. And whoever would lead one of these who believes in me to sin, that is, to go away from me, notice it, it would be better for that person if a millstone, a great big millstone that they turned and grind flour or wheat into flour and so forth, hung around your neck and thrown into the ocean. That's better than what God will do to you. Jesus wants people to lead one another, to not hinder one another, to come to him. God will punish false teaching that leads people away from him. He hates it. He hates for people to be misled away from him. That's what this text says. It would be better if you would be drowned in the depths of the sea, because what God will do to you is worse. Do not mislead. Let the little children come to me. Okay, these temptations are going to come. These temptations to turn away from Christ, to lead others away from Christ, are going to come. But he says, don't let them come to you. They're going to come in the world, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. So this temptation to sin that he's talking about in these verses right here is what he had just talked about. That's why it's all one section. It's a continuous teaching. The sin to mislead others. That's the sin he's talking about. Do not allow yourself to mislead others. And then he talks about cutting off the hand, cutting off the foot, gouging out the eye. Don't mislead others. Let them come to me. Let them come to me. Then he gives that parable. And again, it's about the little ones. And again, remember, it's not only it is age-wise little ones, but it's also adults, people who need to hear about Jesus, people who need comforting, people who need guiding with maybe some law, because they're on the wrong way, and so they need to turn back to Jesus. They need to, as he says, turn and become like children, to turn and believe in him. That's the lost sheep. So it can be a little one, but it can be somebody of any age. And then he says something interesting, doesn't it? And it kind of pops out of nowhere. It's not really taught in much of Scripture. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. The good commentator who I use a lot for Matthew, Dr. Gibbs, a retired professor from our seminary in St. Louis, he went through this a little bit and he says, honestly, there's so little teaching about this. This is that teaching of the guardian angel, that type of idea. There's so little said about this in Scripture. He just says, let the word stand. He doesn't know how much more to say. He does mention, and those of you who studied in Revelation, that in the seven letters to the seven churches, there's the angel of each church is involved in the seven letters, and he mentions that. We don't know exactly how what he's meaning here, the angels, their angels, see their Father's face in heaven. That teaching is not broadened out or given more details elsewhere in Scripture.
But that's enough.
There's angels. They're angels. They're ministering spirits. Somebody God has assigned to them is in heaven with God the Father. What's the implication there? You mislead or you lead away one of these little ones, who is even against you? Their angel. The protection that God has for his people is against you. Heaven is against you if you would take one of these little ones away. How much does God want these little ones? Well, if there was one lost sheep out of 99, the shepherd is going to go and look for that. And when he finds that lost sheep, he rejoices. And he's giving that parable to express how much God wants the lost to come back to him. Whether it's a child or adult, the little ones who are lost. Verse 14, he says, so, in conclusion there, talking about the parable, so it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And we remember in the English that perish means to be lost forever, not die and go to heaven. That's not perish. Perish means separated from God, to be lost forever. So it's not my Father's will that any of these would be lost, spiritually lost forever. God wants his sheep to be with him. The next section that follows here oftentimes is divided out under the title Church Discipline, Matthew 18:15-19. And it's true, it is. But it's in the context of not losing anybody. It's in the context that Jesus says, don't be a stumbling block. Don't mislead anybody. Don't let them come to me. And we see his hope, his direction in that verse 15, the first part of that whole series of several verses. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. And that's the point. And then there's a process he talks about. Take two, then the church. But the whole point is to gain the brother, to gain the relationship back, to gain the fellowship back with Jesus. So the whole teaching is talking about the little ones. How did this all start out? All this teaching. The first couple of verses there. They had the wrong idea. They were thinking about greatness, and they were thinking about leadership, and they were thinking about glory or honor in the way the world is thinking. And Jesus says, no, you're not thinking right. Actually, the little one, the one who is humbled, the one who wants God, God honors and loves and searches for that soul and grab them in, hold them close. Don't offend them. Don't be under God's wrath. And go look for them. We Christians gathered in service and other activities at church often. He wants us to hear this word, that we also would have our eyes open by the Holy Spirit and say, okay, I can say a word here and a word there and a word there, or I can pray. I've said many words and it's not doing anything, but I can pray and bring my concerns to God. Because young or old, God wants his people who truly believe in him and depend on him, like a child depends on his father or mother, want him close and not lost. I was thinking about this, just age and being a little one of different ages. And their family, Barrett's and Violet's father, being a policeman. came to mind. Because sometimes in the world, we have responsibilities, and the world looks to us and needs our help as a help from a policeman. And yet, a policeman or somebody who is in that leadership role can be in more danger, little ones. So the father will protect the children, but somebody needs to protect the father and the mother and the grandmother. So it really applies to all ages, and our prayers are for people for all ages, that God's protection would be upon them, that their faith would be there, that they would know Jesus. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for these words from Jesus, which teach us how much you want people to turn to you in humility and faith, to look for your grace and protection. We ask you to be with us here, to always be humble in spirit towards you and to one another, and to serve one another. And we ask you also that same attitude of faith would be towards our families, our communities, all about, that the sheep that may be wandering or lost would be brought to you, that would have your protection and your grace. And we ask you, too, that you would keep us in your word, whatever our age, young or older, that we would continue in your word and worship, so that we are not lost, but that we will be in heaven with you forever. These things we bring to you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.